Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorced Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. I have been a single mom for 15 years. So when I got divorced, my kids were 3 and 5. I didn't have any family in town. I didn't really have any divorced friends. And it felt extremely isolating. It was lonely. My kids were so young that, you know, you can't really have conversations with your young kids. So I really felt like I was on an island, and it was very hard to be a single parent. And actually, that was one of the reasons I started Divorced Girl Smiling, because I wanted there to become more of a community for single parents. So today I want to talk about being a single parent, what the challenges are, and then offer tips based on my experience. But I also have a really good guest to talk about this. Her name is Stephanie Sexauer. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Jackie. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm glad you're here. I want to tell my listeners a little bit about you before we start this conversation about single parents. So Stephanie Sexauer is a wills and estate planning attorney based in Chicago. She's been practicing for about 10 years, and she's the founder of her own law firm, Sexauer Law. And Stephanie has a lot of clients who are single parents, and I wanted her to be on this to participate in the conversation about single parents, but also talk about the importance of a will and trust if you're a single parent. And also, we were going to touch on if you have elderly parents, because a lot of people listening are single parents who are also taking care of their aging parents. So, Stephanie, thanks so much for taking time to be on the podcast with me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I mean, you have such a great team, great audience. People are going through some real things right now, and I'm just so happy to share what I can in context of all of the things that single parents are battling at this stage.
All right, so let's get to this. I wrote an article for the Chicago Tribune, and it was called 10 Tips for Single Parents. I mean, it sounds really generic or whatever, but you know what? Having been a single parent for this long, I experienced everything. I experienced the feeling like my whole neighborhood was gossiping about me, feeling like I was the only single mom in the suburbs, feeling very alone, scared, feeling like one day I saw a mouse in my house and I was like, I don't think I can do this anymore. You know, I freaked out. I'm like, I need a husband. I can't do this. And scared about finances. You really have to become the head of your household, and you really have to become strong and like a leader. What do you think, Stephanie?
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is that you didn't sign up for that. You went into parenthood. At least a lot of people go into parenthood thinking they're going to do it with someone else. And to be faced with the challenges of A, doing it alone, and B, not having specifically the person there, good or bad, you know, every relationship comes with both, but not having that person there who you may have relied on for some of these things, to manage the finances, to manage the, you know, the grunt work, you know, the quote unquote boy work of the household. Doing it A, all, and B, on your own is a huge challenge that I think a lot of single people are facing when they're, you know, either newly divorced or even well into, you know, after divorce.
I totally agree. And also, you bring up such a good point. Not only did you not sign up for it, but you are mourning your divorce. So you're going into being a single parent upset.
Yeah, and you're disappointed for the kids to some extent. I think even in a relationship that you knew wasn't good to be in, it's got so many conflicting feelings. And now you're of course doing it primarily alone, but you also, for a lot of people, have the obligation of making sure your former spouse is involved and maybe even shares equal important decision making, which has its own challenges.
I could not agree more. It's not easy, but I will say, and I don't want to make this podcast all negative because as hard as it is to be a single parent, there are so many wonderful benefits of being a single parent. I've actually written an article on that too. Anything you can think of, Stephanie, that might be a good thing about being a single parent?
Well, I do think that for those people who are in relationships that for one reason or another, it wasn't a healthy example for the kids, or it wasn't allowing you to fulfill yourself, this is an opportunity for an entirely new future for yourself, for the kids to witness everything. It's a do-over that a lot of people don't get. And with that, potential is an opportunity that, I mean, I pray that people know that they should be taking advantage of it and are accessing the resources to be able to do that. You know, getting enough quality alone time, going to therapy, learning to relove all the hobbies you may have had as a single person, reconnecting with old friends. There's so much to love about this new stage of life.
I could not agree more. And people listening to this might not realize this, but for me, having been a single parent for 15 years, you are going to look back someday and say, wow, I'm really proud of myself. You will feel empowered, independent, strong, courageous. And guess what? As Stephanie said, you get to raise your kids the way you want to. And maybe you got your kids out of a really bad situation with an ex or a bad marriage. And now you get a chance to really shine and to expose your kids to the wonderful person you are doing things your way. So I just think there are many benefits of being a single parent.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a great point.
All right, now I want to get into tips for single parents. And Stephanie, you just touched on one of them. I think you just said something about taking care of yourself. So that was the first tip. Self-care and being a single parent is so important. Why do you think that is?
When someone is going through a divorce, and you know, as a child of divorced parents, as someone whose clients are, you know, consistently coming recently out of a divorce with my friends and own family, going through that with them, there is so much to stress about that if you don't take this time, it could, you know, you could be 6, 10 years later and still feeling the effects. It's got to be a concerted effort to take a bath, get a manicure, go for a walk.
And not feel guilty for doing those things. So that's the next tip. Don't feel guilty. I hear from a lot of women who are divorced and who are single parents that there's this secret guilt that when their ex has the kids, that they feel guilty because they are going and doing something fun and it doesn't involve the kids. So they feel really badly about themselves. And that is such a waste of energy. And if you're getting a massage and you're sitting on the massage table feeling guilty about it, you're negating the positive effects of the massage. So you really have to not feel guilty about your self-care.
And know that it's what men do, it's what everyone else is doing, single people, married people, people with kids, people without. It's you have to, what do they say? You have to put on, just like that TV show that I mean, people going through divorce probably shouldn't see this, but Fleischman's in Trouble, if you've heard of it. This theme throughout the whole show is you've got to wear your oxygen mask before you can put on anyone else's.
I could not agree more. So when we're talking about self-care, we're not just talking about getting a massage or a manicure. We're talking about if you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. If you need to go to therapy, go to therapy. And people who engage in self-care are better parents. They're happier, they're helpful, they have more patience. They don't have this resentment and bitterness that they never have any time for themselves. So they're just happier in general, and they're better with their kids.
Yeah, I do think it really improves you through all qualities, all aspects of life.
Absolutely. Okay, another tip for single parents is please, please, please ask for help. Single parents feel this sense of independence and they feel like embarrassed or like they're going to be a failure if they ask for help. So don't be embarrassed if you need to ask your neighbor to babysit or if you need rides for your kids. I think you would be really surprised at how helpful and happy to do it people in your neighborhood will be. What do you think, Stephanie?
Absolutely. And what I see when I see this most often, it's with parents of kids where they're also battling their, parents are battling their own trauma, and they also have aging parents where it is three separate sets of something really tragic going on, and there aren't a lot of known resources to help with all of them. So knowing when to ask for help, getting the help, being able to ask for it and not feel guilty about it, the care of all three of those, the kids, yourself, and your parents, is vital. So we've got to make sure we're getting it done, but it does not have to be you that's doing it all.
And if it is you, this leads me to the next tip. Build a support network. Find people to help you and help your aging parents. Please realize if you're listening to this and you're a single parent, you cannot do this all yourself and you shouldn't have to.
Right. There are so many resources, but it does take some digging to find them.
And it also takes You have to balance everything out. It takes money for some of these resources, but there's a lot of free ones like support groups. I know this is a shameless plug, but I am going to plug the Divorced Girl Smiling Club. It is support groups for women who want to feel connected, inspired, bond with each other, feel heard, and we meet once a week for an hour. On Zoom, everything is confidential and it doesn't cost a lot. It's very inexpensive. But there's support groups like that, whether it's mine or out there for single parents, for caregivers of elderly parents, for people who feel like they need support from other people.
Well, and as someone who's come to a few of these meetings as a guest, I can tell you that I'm seeing women who are going through real life challenges, and it's such a relief to have other women who know exactly what you're talking about being able to give feedback. It's both a commiserating experience, it's uplifting, and so I would also encourage anyone to attend these meetings and join the club too.
Thank you, Stephanie. I actually had Stephanie in my meetings this past week to talk about the importance of getting a will and trust after divorce. And she just talked for a couple minutes and listened to the women. And yeah, I mean, Stephanie, don't you agree that these women benefit so much because they just feel less alone? It is a way to feel connected, like you are not alone. That's really important during and after divorce.
Absolutely. And some of the women are experiencing things that other women in the group have already gone through. So it's just great to have someone who has seen it and has passed it, and you can see yourself moving past it. They may not be there in the exact moment with you, but it's great to be part of a community where you see the potential.
Right. Love it. All right. N another tip, make sure you get enough sleep. So sl I've been reading lack of sleep has so many physical, will give you a lot of physical problems, but it will also really, really make parenting challenging, ex especially with young kids. So if you need to sleep, you need to get a babysitter or figure out some way to get your rest because a rested parent is a better parent.
I love that feedback. I mean, I feel like I'm reading it in an article every day that people, when they neglect sleep, there is nothing, you won't look good, you won't feel good. There is no good that can come if you're not getting enough rest.
You're listening to the Divorced Girl Smiling Podcast with Jackie Pilosoff and my guest, Will's an estate planning attorney, Stephanie Sexauer, and we are talking single parents, challenges, benefits, and tips. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to offer some single mom dating tips. We'll be right back.
I want to mention two divorced girl smiling partners that I think you're going to want to know about if you are in need of their services. The first one is divorce attorney Tiffany Hughes, and she is the founder of her law firm, the Law Office of Tiffany M. Hughes. She's located in Chicago. She does take on cases in Florida now as well, on the West Coast. And I have known Tiffany for a few years now. I recommended a couple people to her. They were very happy with her. Tiffany will litigate your divorce, or she will try to help you mediate your divorce. So if you want to find Tiffany, go to Divorce Girl Smiling and look under Trusted Partners. The other person I want to mention is Maria Spears, who is a dating and love coach. After divorce, dating can seem really scary and stressful, and if you want to get yourself in a good place where you're ready to date and ready to meet the love of your life, I would highly recommend Maria. She is just such a lovely person, really warm, and she has so much experience helping women and men as they try to navigate dating after divorce. To find Maria, you can go to maria-spears.com, or you can look her up under Trusted Partners on Divorce Girl Smiling.
Welcome back to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff. I have guest Stephanie Sexauer, a wills and estate planning attorney, and we're talking single parenting, challenges, benefits, and tips. Stephanie, let's talk dating tips for single moms.
Wow, Jackie, it's hard because some women are really not ready for it. And it's hard to force someone to do it. You shouldn't force yourself to do it. But I do think that there is an element of normalcy when you just get out there a few times, see how it goes. You don't have to read too much into anything. You might not even be ready for a full-on relationship. But it is important, I think, to put yourself out there.
Well, I think you're right. You will know if you're listening to this and you're a single mom when you are ready to date. Some people aren't, but I am very surprised at how quickly single moms are ready to date again. And I think it's more like curiosity, and they want to see if like they can still do it, and maybe mm-hmm. they're a little lonely. I don't think single moms want to jump back into a marriage or even a relationship, but they kind of want to dip their toe in the water, I find, pretty early after a divorce.
Well, I think that's great. I think it's good to have some natural curiosity about, well, I'm not in this, you know, old relationship anymore. So what else has been out here that I don't know about? Right. I think it's very healthy.
All right. So tip number one is single mom attire and dating attire are totally different. What do you think?
Interesting. I mean, do we consider single mom attire to be the typical yoga pants, Ugg boots,
well,
hair up in a messy bun?
Yeah, I mean, okay, I shouldn't have even said single mom attire. I should just say mom attire.
Well, and as someone who's not a mom, that's also my attire, so I think it applies to a lot of us.
That attire became much more the norm, I think, when COVID hit. So a lot of people are spending a lot more time in ponytails, yoga pants, and no makeup than they used to. That's just my opinion from what I've seen and heard. But remember that when you're on a date, I'm not saying you have to slap on the makeup and go buy an expensive dress, but really remember that you have to dress for yourself, not the way you would for a play date.
Well, I think part of it is that you don't want to feel so much pressure about looking your absolute best and, oh, it's not as good as I used to look, or it's not as good as girls these days on the dating apps look. It's more about be who you want to be. You are beautiful. You know the right, you know, lip color to wear that just makes you feel special. And that's what I think it is. You should be able to go on these dates feeling confident. And if you are wearing clothes that you feel comfortable in, that look good, that are stylish, when you're well groomed, all of that, I think, plays into the feeling of feeling confident enough to go on these dates.
I love it. You're so right. All right, next tip, know when to stop talking about your kids. So a lot of single moms will go on dates and they're nervous. Everybody's nervous when you're on a date. And so they'll talk about their kids way too much. And what I want to tell you is that these guys that you're going out with, while they appreciate that you're a single mom because they might be a single dad, they don't want to hear about your kids too much. They are there to hear about you. And if you're a single mom who isn't working and you feel like you don't have an identity, talk about what you did before you had kids, like what your career was, what your hobbies are, what your passions are, what you care about, how much you love your family, whatever it is, what sports you do, what books you're reading, something that doesn't have too much to do with your kids. I think it's okay to talk about your kids a little bit, but don't make it the focus of the whole conversation.
Right. I mean, this is an opportunity for you to get away from the kids and to dive into a different part of yourself and the dating part of yourself. So I think that it's just important to talk about things that you think would appeal to anyone, to have an interesting conversation.
Absolutely. Another tip, don't badmouth your ex or talk about everything he or she did that's bugging you.
I wouldn't talk about your ex at all. I wouldn't bring it up. I think it should be completely taboo.
What if the person says to you, why did you get divorced?
Do they do that?
Oh,
they
yes.
Do. I don't think they should.
It's
like
probably one of
fishing.
The first questions you're going to hear on a date.
You know, this might be a little fake it until you make it, but even if you're feeling very raw from the experience, if it were me, I would do my best to downplay any emotions I'm feeling about it and just say we weren't good fits and happy to be where we are now. I don't know that anyone really wants to hear the rigmarole of how, and it's not that they don't want to hear, but they shouldn't be hearing about it right away.
Stephanie, you're exactly right. And my tip was going to be this. I think this is one thing you need to kind of rehearse in your head. Figure out what your answer is going to be before the date. Now, I'm not saying you have to rehearse like word for word what you're going to say, but you know, let's say your husband cheated on you and he left you for another woman and that's why you're getting divorced. In your mind, when someone says, oh, why'd you get divorced on your date? I think it's okay to say, well, my husband met someone, he decided he wanted a divorce, if that's what you feel comfortable saying. You can say what the truth is, but don't be like, oh, he's a freaking jerk. I can't even believe that effer left me for another woman. She's such a slut. You know, you don't want to say anything like that and keep the emotion out of it, but you can say what happened if you feel comfortable, but maybe in your head, prepare what you want to say. What do you think?
Yeah, I think either way, be prepared for any type of conversation that might come up. But I think this is also a good reminder that in an effort to, you want to be curious on a date, but I don't think I would bring that up myself, ask someone why they got divorced. I don't know that, to me, it's fishing for what's wrong with the person you're on the date with. And I don't want to be the person initiating that, and I don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Well, I'm just keeping it real, Stephanie, and every single date that I went on, and I went on a lot, it came up in the first 10 minutes. So I don't know if it was me, but just be prepared to all you single moms out there. And I don't even think it's such a bad thing because then you get to ask him why he got divorced. And if he says something like, my wife thinks I drink too much, well, okay, then you know that you have your answer.
Well, I guess if he's willing to offer that, then maybe to, you know, that shouldn't be necessarily one in linear out the other. Remember it.
Stephanie, this has been so nice having you on here. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Well, thank you, Jackie. I love talking with you, and I do think you're providing such a great service for women going through this.
Thank you, Stephanie. And I want to close with one more single mom tip, and that is get your will and estate plan done. So I'm going to let Stephanie talk about why this is important, because it really is. After your divorce is final, within the first 6 months, you owe it to yourself to get a will and estate plan if you don't have one, or get a new one, because the one that you had when you were married is no longer valid. And that's what Stephanie does. And what I love is you've paid this divorce attorney all this money on an hourly basis, and you never knew what your bills were going to be, or you paid your mediator. Well, now Stephanie's rate is a flat fee. So after spending all this money, I would say in the first 6 months, you should hire an estate planning attorney, maybe Stephanie if you want. And Stephanie, why is this so important?
Well, it may be the last thing on your mind, but people pass away every day. I hope it's no one that's listening right now, but for the same reason you care to have life insurance, you should be thinking about wills and trusts. You may have obligations in your marital settlement agreement to have specific life insurance that name the kids as beneficiaries that an estate planning attorney will need to make sure you're complying with, all the way to, I don't think a lot of people know what happens to their assets when they pass away, and the costs of going through what's called probate and minor guardianships. They're not being any kind of say. If you don't draft these documents, you don't have any say in how money is spent for the benefit of the kids and who's going to manage that. And if you don't want your spouse doing it, your former spouse, then you've got to make sure you've got a plan in place for it.
You're so right. And you know what? I want to tell my listeners, once you do it, it's done. You never have to think about it again, unless you get remarried.
Which brings a lot of new challenges. That is a perfect time to think again about what you've got. Yeah, you're right, Jackie. It's supposed to be a relief, and it is. It feels very good when it's done. You've done all the planning you can. And for everyone who's, a type A personality or a worrier, I think it's a really relieving experience.
And I want to also tell my listeners, I would highly recommend Stephanie. Stephanie, I sent you a few people, and they've all been really happy with your work. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you, Jackie. I really appreciate the confidence.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. If you want to learn more about Stephanie, you can go to sexhourlaw.com, or you can find her under the Trusted Partners section of Divorced Girl Smiling. And if you want to read more articles, listen to more podcasts, watch videos, or sign up for the Divorced Girl Smiling support groups, come see me at divorcedgirlsmiling.com.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you real soon.